Our guest today on the World Cafe is Patti Sciarfa. She is a member of the E Street Band. She is, of course, Bruce Springsteen's wife and has had a solo career for a while. In fact, she had a record deal offer before she was even a member of the E Street Band. And there's ample evidence on her new album, Play It As It Lays, that she continues to grow into herself as a writer and performer. She's here to play live today and talk about the new songs, including the song Looking for Elvis that begins her new disc.
When I wrote that song, I knew that was going to be my opening track. It just had that quality to it that, you know, the searching kind of quality. And Elvis, interesting, you know, he's just a fascinating, to this day, still just a fascinating, iconic figure. And just the idea of him is quite beautiful. And he always represented to me the... you know, the hopefulness, American hopefulness.
Yeah, he kind of represents inspiration in this album.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Reinvention, limitless possibilities, you know, that limitlessness of just, you could do anything.
Now, what about the musical vibe of that, which continues throughout the whole album, this kind of... it's an R&B vibe. You've kind of gone in slightly different directions on all three of your albums, and maybe the last one was more of a New York album. This one does feel more Southern and more R&B.
Well, first of all, that you know, R&B, soul music, blues, it's always been a great form for. In a way, like traditionally women just go in there and sing very deeply, very fully, have your complaints, have a tremendous amount of power. So I just thought if I wrote an album and tried to borrow some of that, it would help me be more expressive. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to it. This is Looking for Elvis with the incredible band playing with our guest today, Patti Sciarfa.
I'm looking for Elvis down on Memphis Road. I'm
Looking for Elvis live on the World Cafe today. That is from Play It As It Lays, the third solo album from Patti Sciarra. And one of the things about this album is that there are fabulous background vocal arrangements throughout. all different kinds and styles, doulangs and everything on this album. Now, you and Lisa, I know, and Susie, you used to sing on the street in New York?
We did. We used to have this street band, and we called ourselves Trickster. I think it was from the Jungian, you know, psychological chapter of, you know, the trickster phase. And we were a little heady back then, headiness of youth. And we used to sing on street corners and support ourselves that way.
And did you make more money doing that than I heard?
Not more money than I make in the East Street Band.
That's got to be true. Well, the song on this album that really jumps out on me is "Like Any Woman Would," which I just think is a great song. And I understand that title at least has been around for a long time.
Yeah, I had that title when I was taking. I just thought of this. Cliff Carter and I made a demo of a song I'd written called "Like Any Woman Would" when I was 19, and that was the first demo that I took up to record companies, where you'd go in with your reel-to-reel and drop them off. You could just walk in and drop them off at the A&R departments. I always liked the title, so I just kept the title. Everything else is different. You know, I wrote words and a new melody, and I liked that for a chorus. And it's a kind of a celebratory song in a funny way, even though there are lyrics in it that might make you think it's sad, but it was a celebration of your own power.
Well, let's listen. This is a great song. This is "Like Any Woman Would."
Thank you.
Protection of rabbits.
Like Any Woman Would, live performance today from our guest, Patty Scialfa, has joined us on the cafe with this a great band with music from Play It As It Lays, the new album. Patty, where did you grow up in North Jersey, but where did you grow up?
Not North Jersey. I grew up in, it would be central, but on the coast.
Oh, okay.
A few miles north of Asbury Park. I grew up in a small town called Oakhurst. And then I think when I was in sixth grade, we moved to Deal, which was a few miles away from that, which is, again, right on the water.
What did your parents do?
My parents were, they worked together, and my father was an entrepreneur. My mother helped him with his business. He started out in a TV shop selling televisions and electronics, and then just expanding to properties and hotels and stuff like that.
But it wasn't. But it wasn't music.
No.
No. Where did that come in?
Just the visual of my parents playing guitar together. Just you caught me for a second there. My grandfather was Jerome Morris was a well-known songwriter in England. He was English. And he wrote for a very famous cabaret singer at the time, was many records out, Maria Lloyd. And he was well known for writing songs for her. She was very, very famous at the time, so it was a big... Like, if I go on the internet and look him up, I can find his name and the songs that he's written for her. And he was just a very, very talented, artistic man.
What was your relationship with him like?
It was wonderful, in fact. It was... My parents both worked, and they worked long hours, so my grandparents helped raise me. And my grandfather, at this point, he had stopped writing for a living, But he would sit every day at the piano with a cigarette dangling from his mouth, and the piano had all like butt stains all over it. You know, like when you put your cigarette butt down and you see them in a row, all the charcoal marks. And he would just sit there writing all day, and I'd sit on the bench with him, and he would just, "Hey, what ending do you like better?" He would always ask my opinion, and it was my first kind of realization of an adult encounter of where your opinion matters, and he was doing something creative every day, and that was very poignant to me.
Wow. Now, when you were you talked about auditioning for record companies early on, were you always writing at that point?
I was writing it. Let's see, I think I made my first demo at 18, because I remember thinking I wanted to get a contract before I was 20. I thought that was the big line, that you'd had to have a record out before you're 20. So I was taking things up to the city in my late teens, and it's getting Warner Brothers, who gave me some money to make a demo, and Atlantic Records one time gave me some money to make a demo, but to make recordings for them to see if they would sign me. But I was a bit unorganized. You know, I just go in by myself. I didn't really, I think if I had had some more people around me to help me focus and maybe I could have gotten a contract sooner.
Hmm. Now, I understand even in that area, you auditioned for the E Street Band, but you didn't make it that time?
I did. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because it's something that I forget about. And when I started working with the E Street Band, I'd literally forgotten that I had auditioned. And Roy came up to me one night, the Born USA tour, and he said, "Didn't you audition like years ago, come to Jersey?" My memory jogged my memory, and I said, "Yeah, I did," and I'd just completely forgotten. But I did. I went in about, God, I don't even know what album they were working on, but they didn't end up taking A Woman on the Road, but I did audition.
Well, and of course, now, you know, with this album, I mean, the tables are turned. It's Bruce in your band. What's that dynamic like when he works on this?
No, what do you mean?
Well,
when he works
on
with
this
me
one.
In the studio?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a very natural thing to happen. We have a recording studio on our property. It's not a recording studio per se. It's just a house that has gear in it. So it's very natural I'll be working in there, and all of a sudden, maybe just Steve and I will be in there with Cliff and we don't have a bass player, and I'll say, "Oh, could you come over and just play a bass line on this? Let me just see what this sounds like." So it happens in a really organic way. It's a very natural, spontaneous, you know, easy and inexpensive way to get players on my record.
Now, the album is called Play It As It Lays, which is the title of the Joan Didion book. How does her book relate to the title or to the song?
Well, I just always really liked Joan Didion's writing, and they don't really relate, but I just thought it was a great title, and I've always been a fan of hers, and I needed a hook, and I had the verses. And then the book was lying around on my desk, because I always keep her books around, and I thought, ooh, maybe I can just play it as it lays for my chorus. So, those things kind of just happened. They just happen organically.
A lot of this album seems really personal. This song in particular does. What's it like for you to kind of reveal yourself as a songwriter? I mean, we talk about these mythic qualities, but then there's the personal end of it, too.
Well, I like writing in that vein because for me to feel like I'm connecting to my own music, it really has to, come from something that I have experienced, and maybe it's something that I'm in a quandary about or have some conflict over, and the process of writing it's like self-parenting in a way. It clears up the idea, puts it in order. So, for me, that emotions have always connected me to music. Music has always been a very emotional outlet in my life. So I just feel that I can't write fiction really well. Of course, there's always a lot of fiction. There's a kernel of truth, and then you have to flesh out the song. So you do write your fiction there. But for me, it always has to begin in something that was really touched you.
This is Play It As It Lays.
up something that was sleeping below my skin. And I wanted to tell you so much, but where do I stop? Where do I begin? Do I start with how I lost my kindness and how I found it once again? And I'm just gonna play it out.
Play It As It Lays, the title track of Patty Scialfa's new album. And Patty, it's funny, you've played so many roles in your life, and in fact, in like any woman would, you've mentioned many of those roles. Do you always have kind of, do you always see, well, I got my career, I got to keep focused on, I got to realize that I have to do this or to be who you are. The balance must be really difficult.
Well, I think it's difficult for everybody, you know, has a family, and I can only speak for myself. And I think it's difficult for women if you're trying to, you know, you're trying to raise your kids, you have a job, and you're trying to do them all. And it is difficult. It's challenging. I'm not saying it in a kind of, you know, play the violins, have sympathy, but I just think that's very realistic that you're never going to feel like you do any of them perfectly at any time, you know. And that's okay, and that is okay, and that whole myth that, oh yeah, you know, women can have it all. Well, you can have those things all in your life, but I think to try and think that, oh, I'm going to do it all perfectly is just a tremendous myth or misconception that you get sold, and it's just not true, and it's okay. You know, sometimes you won't do this job well, sometimes you won't. When I'm doing my music really well, honestly, then I feel like I'm not being a good mother. You know, today was my kid's first day at school, right? And I missed it, and because I'm up in New York doing this, and I thought, well, but I'm doing my job, and I don't get to do that often. But and you just you have to just make peace with that, and not be so I don't know, just be more forgiving with the whole trying to balance it all.
Patty Sciaffa, our guest. Patty, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you. It's nice talking to you.
We'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.